ice, but that'll be icing on the Lions. 1:57 to go in the third. Badgers trail 4-2. Mike Hastings already used his timeout to challenge a goal call that made it 3-1 early in the second period, so he's got no timeout. And he'll send out Lindmark, Kukkonen, Mosley, Palatichuk, Dexheimer, and the extra forward will be Morrissey. 4-2 the score. Faceoff won by Lindmark. Out to the point, Palatichuk. Looking right side, Dexheimer. No room to work. Now they throw it left side. Palatichuk sets and fires off the end boards. He went blocker side and missed. Lindmark digs it out, finds Morrissey. To the point now, it's Dexheimer. Left wing, Palatichuk looking in front. Whipped it right through the crease off the corner boards. Foot race, Dexheimer able to beat Kuzma to the puck. And Morrissey taps it back to Dexheimer. 90 seconds to play in regulation. Badgers trail 4-2. Palatichuk dumps it in. Kukkonen in on the forecheck. Lindmark keeps it alive to the corner. Owen takes a peek out to the point. No place to put it. He'll throw it behind the net with 1:20 to go. Kuzma knocked off balance. Prouty turned him around and won the puck. Threw it off his teammate Southgate and up through center ice. And Dexheimer hustles back after it. He'll tap it off to Lindmark. 1:08 to go in the third. Badgers down 4-2. Lindmark ahead to Dexheimer. Works a pass around the forward. Now Mosley, left wing, chops it at the goaltender, Bartoszkiewicz, who makes the easy save on his knees and hangs on for a faceoff. 57.6 seconds left. Badgers trailing 4-2.
And pretty much a miracle on ice would have to happen here in the last minute in order for them to score two goals. The defensive strategy that Lindenwood has come in here with has paid great dividends for them during the entire game, and I don't see them changing anything here for the last minute, to say the least.
Wisconsin wins the faceoff. Hensler working straight away, no place to shoot. Now sauces across to Scholes. Zach trying to settle down the bouncing puck. Now he's engaged and can't play it. Can Wisconsin hold? It does. Hensler, wild pass slot, held in by the Badgers. Here's Horbach, threw it towards the
guys.
Net, and it went wide. Back behind the cage. And now it bounces back out in front, cleared by Kuzma. Oh, no, nice stick handling play by Hensler, who just got held from the near side by Raisler, but no call. 25 seconds to go in the period. Badgers with an extra attacker down 4-2. 20 seconds to play. Fitzgerald trying to jam it free. Horbach, too. Scholes as well. 15 seconds left. Steal by Akimchuk. Up ahead, Kuzma. Kuzma. Slow by Finley, puck at center. Tassie can't catch the pass at the blue line. And how about the Lindenwood Lions? Under first-year head coach and former Michigan Wolverine Bill McCault, the Lions come to Madison and upset the ninth-ranked Badgers in the season opener. 4-2, the final score. The black-clad Lions surrounding winning goaltender and former Minnesota Golden Gopher Owen Bartoszkiewicz. What a moment for Lindenwood. Their most significant win since becoming a Division I program 3 years ago.
Yeah, and truth be known, they deserved it. They deserved it. They, in several key situations, they outplayed the Badgers. But again, they stuck to their game plan and played to their strengths and eliminated most of their weaknesses. Very, very impressed.
The Lindenwood Lions knock off Wisconsin here tonight by the final score of 4-2. Hey, hockey fans, visit uwbadgers.com/Zamboni to register your child for a chance to be the Culver's Kid of the Game at a UW men's hockey game this season. One lucky winner will receive 4 game tickets, a Culver's gift pack, and a ride on the Zamboni during intermission. That's uwbadgers.com/Zamboni. Badger Hockey also brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, which reminds you to always drive sober. Zero in Wisconsin. Together we can save lives. Get the Drive Sober app today. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification, 10 seconds for a legal ID. You're listening to Wisconsin Badger Hockey.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Major upset in Madison. Lindenwood 4, Wisconsin 2 to start this 2024-25 season. Back in a moment. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The big game. Family. Friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game cooking your famous burgers or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
The Kohl Center, Camp Randall, the Fieldhouse. This is where the magic happens, where the best players lead with passion, fight with power, and win with exceptional performance. And now it's time we add another house to our Badger community. Meet Madison's newest powerhouse player, UW Health East Park Medical Center, home of top doctors and advanced treatments, all under one roof. So no matter the opponent, we're the place to defeat it. UW Health. Remarkable.
Lindenwood won only two games on the road last season, didn't beat a Big Ten team, and hadn't until tonight. The Lions upset Wisconsin by the final score of 4-2. Badgers start the season 0-1, Lindenwood 1-0, rematch tomorrow night, face-off at 6 o'clock. That'll be a tough one to swallow.
Yes.
And then you have to come back and play again against a team that just did not stop.
Well, they came in here just loaded with confidence. There was no question about it. And the fact that they got on the board first even gave them more confidence. And at no point in time did they ever look like, okay, we're scared Badgers are going to come back.
Right.
Just played with that attitude of, here we go again, folks. Let's get at it. And at no point in time did any of their four lines or their six or seven defensemen ever look worried. The only time that they had breakdowns, I hate to say it, but my third star of the game was their goaltender, and he was very good.
He was. Owen Bartoszkiewicz gets the win here tonight. Lindenwood knocks off Wisconsin 4-2. Postgame show's coming up. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Calling all Badger hockey fans. The Wisconsin Badgers and Culver's are announcing the return of the Kid of the Game promotion. Visit uwbadgers.com/Culver Zamboni and register your child for a chance to be the Culver's Kid of the Game at a UW men's hockey game. At each Wisconsin home game, one lucky winner will receive four game tickets, the Culver's gift pack, and get to ride the Zamboni between periods. Culver's, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Valid for kids age 8 to 14, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I've got some good news about prices, especially at the pump. Gas prices are the lowest that they've been in years right now. The statewide average in Wisconsin is about $3.02 a gallon, and there are 10 counties, including Eau Claire and Sheboygan, where the average price at the pump is under $3. Gas prices have been heading south since this summer when Biden and Harris released a million barrels of oil from one of our big reserves to help us avoid a summer gas price surge. And I am all for doing whatever we can to keep gas prices down. So I don't want to hear any more of this talk about tariff taxes on imports. Half our gas comes from overseas. I can't afford to pay more for that. Let's keep our gas prices down. For more Everyday Money news, check out Work Money Media on YouTube or text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. That's money to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Bronczynski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
To you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. And by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Welcome to the Badger Post Game Show.
Along with Ian Perrin, Brian Posick here at the Kohl Center in Madison. Wisconsin falls to Lindenwood 4-2. Lions got on the board first. A power play goal from Jaden Mercier, from John Evans and Noah Uhl. 11:51. Badgers tied it. Gavin Morrissey, the freshman, his first goal as a Badger at 15:42. Tyson Dick and Logan Hensler, the freshman defenseman, getting assists. But Lindenwood regained the lead at 18:16 on Mercier's second goal of the game. Ethan Zielke, the lone helper. 2-1 Lindenwood after one. The Lions scored the lone goal in the second period. Alexander Lundman, the former Bemidji State Beaver, scored at 2:07 from David Gagnon and Drew Kuzma. It remained 3-1 until Ryland Mosley, the Michigan Tech transfer, scored his first goal as a Badger at 6:42 of the third from Morrissey and Kyle Kukkonen. But Artem Borshov, with a wrister from the left circle at 16:37, made it 4-2. Lindenwood, Gagnon, and Evans both got their second helpers of the night. Owen Bartoszkiewicz, 34 saves. He got the victory, while Tommy Scarfoni, the RIT transfer, made 15 and took the loss. 4-2, the final score. All right, let's name our three players of the game, three stars of the game. Ian, our stars of the game brought to you by Everlight Solar. Who do
you
have?
We'll go backwards. And I think that the young goaltender from Lindenwood was our number three star. He didn't face a lot of point-blank stuff, but it seemed that every time that there was a deflection or a rebound or whatever it is, he was able to jump on top of it, cover it up. I think a lot of that had to do with the help that he had from the defenseman. Mm-hmm. But if you take a look at Bartoszkiewicz's stats for the game, he was good when he had to be and average or above average for the remainder of the game, so he's my number three star. Mm-hmm. Kind of did a lump for the number two star. I put the entire line of Mosley, Morrissey, and Kukkonen as the number two star because they were our points getters for tonight, and they played with a lot of jump and a lot of zip. They're not the biggest line, but they did play against a very big line. Usually they were out there against Kuzman, Gagnon, and Lundman, and I think they did a very good job of overachieving when it came to playing against that line. Mm-hmm. And the number one star I gave to Mercier because, I mean, you get two goals in a place like this, and you're on the visiting team, you've done something right. And he made no mistake. He had probably five opportunities in the game, and he scored on two of them. Good for you, young man.
Yeah, Mercier, who scored three goals as a freshman, scores two goals in his first game as a sophomore. Lindenwood wins here 4-2. Our three stars of the game brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Start with Everlight Solar. More coming up from the Kohl Center. We'll hear from head coach Mike Hastings down the line. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Hey, Badger fans. Fall is here, and you know what that means. Chilly days are just around the corner. Don't let the cold catch you off guard. That's why it's good to know the knowledgeable, friendly dealers at Bryan Heating and Cooling who will do whatever it takes to keep your furnace running efficiently, no matter what the weather throws at you. Plus, score up to $2,600 in tax credits on qualifying Bryan systems. Ask about local rebates and financing for qualified buyers. Find your local dealer at Bryant.com. That's Bryant.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Hi, it's Matt LePay, voice of the Badgers. On the field, the Badgers are always on the move. Off the field, that's where Evans Transportation comes in. As Wisconsin's 3PL, they move over 30,000 shipments a year right here in the Badger State. That's dedication to keep things moving here in Scotty. Evans is excited to support Badger student athletes and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Find them at evanstrans.com. That's evanstrans.com. Go Badgers!
Hey friends, Matt and Matt here for Brewpub Lots of Matzah Pizza. You know, so many people are stuck in the moat of mundaneness when it comes to their frozen pizza choice. Same cardboard crust, flavorless sauce, second-rate cheese. You know, all the assumptions of a frozen pizza. Well, it's time to ditch the downer and throw out that theory by diving into a Brewpub Lots of Matzah Pizza. Thin, cracker-like crust, a bold, tasty sauce, high-quality meat and veggie toppings, and bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning mozzarella cheese. There is nothing humdrum about a Brewpub pizza. See for yourself. Snag one today from the frozen pizza section at your local grocery store.
The big game. Family. Friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burgers, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Calling all Badger hockey fans. The Wisconsin Badgers and Culver's are announcing the return of the Kid of the Game promotion. Visit uwbadgers.com/Culver Zamboni and register your child for a chance to be the Culver's Kid of the Game at a UW men's hockey game. At each Wisconsin home game, one lucky winner will receive 4 game tickets, a Culver's gift pack, and get to ride the Zamboni between periods. Culver's, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Valid for kids age 8 to 14, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Here at the Kohl Center in Madison, Wisconsin drops its season opener 4-2 the final. Lindenwood prevails, and joined now by Badgers head coach Mike Hastings. And Mike, obviously not the way you wanted to start, but boy, credit that Lindenwood club. They came out and they pressured the puck and made it difficult, didn't they?
Yeah, you know what? When you play with fire, you're going to get burned at times. And, you know, there were not a lot of positives, but I have to say that you look at Mosley, you look at I think Gavin Morrissey, yep. Kukkonen, a freshman and two transfers that go out, and I thought they were dynamic. I thought they were very good. We just had too many passengers tonight. I thought those guys did a lot of the heavy lifting and not enough from everybody else.
Yeah, which is too bad to see. You know, you practiced hard over the last, month and a half or so. You looked pretty good last Saturday against Omaha, too. It sounds like you're pretty surprised by what you saw here tonight.
Yeah, I am. The one thing about our game and, any athletic event, you've got to give respect to the game. And I just didn't think we had everybody give the same amount of respect of even the three guys that we talked about. And, when you don't do that, these things happen. I liked our bounce back from giving up a power play goal and then scoring one. But from that point on, I just, you've got to talent, skill, those types of things at times doesn't get it done. You've got to have some hardness to you too, and tonight we weren't hard enough, and like you said, I'll credit Lindenwood for that, and we've got to look in a mirror and reboot and be a heck of a lot better tomorrow.
Yeah. Gavin Morrissey, let's chat about him for a little bit. If you look at his career to this point, he's had a hard time staying healthy, but boy, you can see the talent that young man has. He sees the ice so very well, doesn't he?
Yeah, and then the want to, the respect for the game. Actually, him and Mosley and
Kukkonen.
Kooks, those guys were just, they're hard. They respect the game. They play it the right way. And I am going to say this, the one thing about this game that's special about it is when you do that, you get rewarded. And when you don't, the game will call you by justice and you'll be judged, and we weren't good enough, and that's just that's the facts. We've got to own it and digest it and hurry up and flush it and make sure that we have a different attitude throughout our lineup because they're going to be excited about playing us tomorrow night, so we've got to change our minds.
All right. Mike, thanks for coming out. We'll talk to you tomorrow before the finale, okay?
Appreciate it, guys.
Sure, thank you. That's Badgers head coach Mike Hastings. Obviously, Ian, disappointed with what he saw, and there's no reason to belabor the point. He mentioned three guys that played well, and you could probably pick out some sequences of others, too. Logan Hensler, I thought, was pretty good, or you can see the upside that he has. I thought Ben Dexheimer was really good tonight, too. Yeah. But yeah, everybody's got to be on the same page.
Hensler, the one thing that I will say about Hensler, he's not used to playing against the physicality of a team like Lindenwood. Yeah. Yeah. There were a couple times there when he was thought he could just dipsy-doodle and go, and somebody knocked him on his can, and it was that was the end of him for the shift. But he was... hockey sense-wise, he's head and shoulders above any of the other freshmen as far as I can see and mm-hmm. from my perspective. But it made me feel good that the three guys that I gave my stars to who were singled out by the head coach, too. I felt pretty good about that. Like I was watching the same game he was.
So you know a few things.
Yes.
Yeah. Badgers fall 4-2 to Lindenwood. More of our postgame show on the way. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The green and gold, tailgating the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer comes. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there and in less than a year opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue. Possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Okie dokie, let's get to the energizing performance of the game brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond for you. Who energized you tonight, Ian?
Well, I'm going to, again, throw the ball into Lindenwood's court. And when the score was 2-1, I thought it was a pretty evenly matched game. There was good energy on both sides of the ice. Things seem to be going in the right direction for the Badgers.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, I got to think, Lundman.
Yep.
A freak goal. I mean, it's a freak goal. It actually goes off of his chest, I think, and ricochets into the net to make it 3-1. And I'll be honest with you, it energized Lindenwood like you wouldn't believe, but it just seems like the wind went out of the sails for Wisconsin. And that was, call it a reverse energy play of the game. I'm not sure how you would call it, but energy did change on both sides of the ice.
Energizing performance of the game. Alex Lundman, the former Bemidji State Beaver, gets credit for the game-winning goal at 2:07 of the second period. Let's look at other action around. Well, first off, UW Sports, the Wisconsin volleyball team swept Maryland tonight at the Fieldhouse. Fourth straight win for Kelly Sheffield's squad, now 10-4 overall, 4-1 in the Big Ten, and home to play Northwestern Sunday at 1 o'clock. Badger football team tries to win its second straight Big Ten game tomorrow at Rutgers. That's an 11 a.m. kickoff on the Badgers Sports Network and the Varsity Network app. Top-ranked Wisconsin women's hockey team hosts third-ranked Minnesota Duluth tomorrow and Sunday at 2 o'clock. Should be fun to watch two of the better teams in the country go at it there. Let's go to Division I hockey now and finals that we have. In Atlantic Hockey, conference opener, the defending tournament champions, RIT, lost at Mercyhurst 4-2. Also, Colorado College, last check, had a 2-1 lead at home against Northern Michigan in the second period. Bemidji State and St. Cloud State tied at 3 in the third period at the National Hockey Center. Western Michigan knocked off Ferris State 4-1. Former Badgers goaltender Cam Rose, 17 saves for the Broncos. Minnesota Duluth went on the road to beat UMass Lowell 4-2. Clarkson at home beat Niagara 4-2. Holy Cross over UConn 4-3. Vermont scored late in the third and now leads St. Thomas in St. Paul 4-3. 5-3 now as Vermont has scored again. St. Thomas picked to win the CCHA this season. Were you surprised by that, Ian?
Yeah, a little bit, although in talking to my nephew out on the East Coast, he said, you watch, Vermont may be the surprise team in the East.
Really?
So I had no idea why he said that. I think it's because one of his friend's kids went there.
Yeah, Vermont was picked to finish last in the 11-team Hockey East
Conference.
Exactly. So, well, you never know. Let's see, what else? Colgate blew a big lead and then needed overtime to beat Sacred Heart 6-5. Union, a 4-2 win at Stonehill. RPI, a 6-3 win at Canisius. Miami edged Anchorage 3-2. Michigan Tech in overtime beat Alaska 2-1. Merrimack went to Mankato and beat Minnesota State 1-0. Augustana, a 4-0 lead on Long Island. That's in the third period of play. By the way, St. Thomas just scored, so it's 5-4 in the third now. They're going at it pretty good. Let's get to games in the Big Ten. Actually, there's one other non-conference game. It's part of the Icebreaker Invitational in Las Vegas. We saw Omaha last week down in Omaha. They played UMass top 15 battle, and the Mavericks win 3-2 in overtime. Former Badger Zach Erdahl scored twice for Omaha, including the game winner with 55 seconds left in OT. So Omaha will play the winner of the Minnesota Air Force game, and that's supposed to start at, I thought it was 9:30 Central Time. I haven't seen any update on that.
Yeah, I think it's 7:30 Pacific, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So let's
see. I'm glad Vogel's not here because I would have had to get out a map and explain it to him.
Notre Dame, a 4-1 win at St. Lawrence tonight. Cole Knubel scored twice for the Fighting Irish. Ohio State rallied to force overtime. Heartland's Max Montez tied the game with 51 seconds left in regulation. But the Buckeyes settled for a 3-3 overtime tie against the American International Yellow Jackets. Michigan, which split with Minnesota State last weekend, won at Arizona State 4-1. A hat trick for Garrett Shifsky.
He's good.
Yeah, he is good. He's really good. And, you know, him and T.J. Hughes often don't get the limelight because of everybody else that's been so good there, right? But Michigan will be scoring a lot. William Whitelaw transferred from Wisconsin to there. Logan Stein, a freshman goalie, had 35 saves for the Maize and Blue. And Trey Augustine stopped 26 shots, but defending Big Ten champion Michigan State was shut out at home by Boston College 3-0. Those teams will meet again tomorrow night. Penn State has a single game this weekend tomorrow night at Quinnipiac. Here the Badgers fall to Lindenwood 4-2. Highlights coming up. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Badger fans, Wisconsin men's basketball tips off the 24-25 season November 4th with new names and new conference opponents. Whether you're looking for season tickets, five-game packages, or single-game options, we've got something to fit your schedule. Now's the time to secure your seats for an exciting season of Badger men's basketball. For more information and to grab your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
The men and women of the Wisconsin Operating Engineers operate the heavy equipment that builds our roads, bridges, and schools. But did you know they also build the wind and solar farms that supply clean energy to our homes and businesses? They install the broadband infrastructure that helps provide high-speed internet to every corner of Wisconsin. Build your career with the Wisconsin Operating Engineers. Visit join139.com to learn more.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Hi, it's Matt LePay, voice of the Badgers. On the field, the Badgers are always on the move. Off the field, that's where Evans Transportation comes in. As Wisconsin's 3PL, they move over 30,000 shipments a year right here in the Badger State. That's dedication to keep things moving here in Scotty. Evans is excited to support Badger student-athletes and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Find them at evanstrans.com. That's evanstrans.com. Go Badgers!
Well, the Wisconsin Badgers ranked ninth in the country, looking to back up what it did a year ago when they started the season 9-1 and moved to number one in the national rankings. Mike Hastings and I talked about it prior to the game. Always good to get off to a good start and lay a foundation and build from there. Well, tonight they took on an independent program, the Lindenwood Lions out of the St. Louis area, a team that had never beaten a Big Ten program until tonight. Here are the highlights of the game. To Huell, now right side. Evans walks down to the goal line. A setup, and Mercier scores. He ripped one past Scarfoni, glove side. Power play goal, and Lindenwood scores the first goal in the Kohl Center this season. 1-0 Lions. Hensler with it. Back left wing, Dick. Right side, it's Morrissey stepping in front. Oh, Kukkonen scores. Beautiful pass by Morrissey. The Badgers light the lamp on a power play. It's 1-1. They may give that goal to Morrissey, the freshman who initiated the feed in front from the right wing. Zach Scholes, good, strong play behind the net on Zilke, who takes it right back, and Mercier scores again. Open in the slot, he shot one that I think went off Scarfoni and trickled between his pads. Mercier with a pair, the Lions lead 2-1, under 2 minutes left in the first.
Ouch.
Oh, a shot in front. Scarfoni made the stop. The rebound popped into midair and knocked in by Lindenwood. Lions lead 3-1 early second period. 3-1, Lindenwood steal. Look out, Scarfoni back in between the pipes, stopping that quick shot right side. Another stop by Scarfoni in tight on Zilke's bid. Badgers steal the puck at center. Kukkonen's got it. Turns and looks left wing. Drops off Morrissey. Goal line left. Setting up! Wisconsin's Mosley scores! And the Badgers within one on Ryland Mosley's first goal as a Badger. 3-on-2, good stick by Kerr, but it's worked free. Here's a chance. Mercier for the hat trick. Oh. Kicked out by Scarfoni and almost kicked in by Scholes.
I was about to say.
But the Badgers have the puck. Backside left, a chance for the defenseman. Oh. He scores. Artem Borshov from the left wing whistled one over the glove hand of Scarfoni. Lindenwood with a 4-2 lead. 3:23 left in the third. Slow by Finley. Puck at center. Tassie can't catch the pass at the blue line. And how about the Lindenwood Lions? Under first-year head coach and former Michigan Wolverine Bill McCault, the Lions come to Madison and upset the ninth-ranked Badgers in the season opener. 4-2, the final score. And that was the final score here tonight. Credit Lindenwood. The Lions tonight had only 19 shots on goal, but beat Tommy Scarfoni four times. Wisconsin with 36 shots on goal, but could only beat Owen Bartoszkiewicz twice. Wisconsin this evening got goals from Morrissey and Mosley. That line of Morrissey, Mosley, and Kukkonen combined for 2 goals and 4 points. The top line on Mike Hastings' chart, Quinn Finley, Christian Fitzgerald, and Simon Tassie left to right, didn't have a single shot on goal. That is saying something. And Mike, without saying so, you could tell he was not pleased whatsoever. Leading the way as far as shots on goal, Mosley had 8 tonight. Ben Dexheimer had 5. Logan Hensler had 4. Those are 2 offensive-minded defensemen, just like you were, Ian.
Yeah. I was Theron Welsh. You go up and shoot, and I'll be waiting here for those guys to come back.
Sure, sure. By the way, Owen Mellenbacher tonight was minus three for the evening. As far as Linden was concerned, Jaden Mercier scored twice. Alexander Lundman and Artem Borshov also scored tonight. Two helpers for John Evans and two for David Gagnon, their team captain. Leading the way in shots on goal was Mercier, who had four this evening. Also, Lindenwood blocked 20 shots. Wisconsin had seven blocks, but Lindenwood blocked 20, and Aiden Yakimchuk had seven of those 20 block shots. Lindenwood 1-for-3 on the power play, took only one shot on three power plays and scored. Badgers 1-for-5 on the man advantage, had 10 shots on goal. I thought the power play, especially as the game went along, that second unit in particular was very good moving the puck.
Yeah, they got all the I think the only downfall to that second unit, as we talked about during the broadcast, was that they moved the puck very, very well. They sucked people out to the outskirts and then tried to put it into the middle. They got the initial shot, and Lindenwood's goaltender was equal to the task as far as the initial shot was concerned. But my biggest concern was that they didn't get any rebounds or deflections off of those good passing plays, specifically because Lindenwood just beat the hell out of them in front of the net.
Yeah. Also, Wisconsin won 34 of 51 faceoffs. Owen Lindmark, 10 out of 12. Morrissey was 9 out of 13. Scarfoni, 15 saves tonight. He took the loss. He's 0-1. The Badgers start the season 0-1. Owen Bartoszkiewicz had 34 saves. He gets his first win with the Lindenwood Lions, who are 1-0. 7,537 fans in attendance tonight watched Lindenwood upset ninth-ranked Wisconsin 4-2. And again, for every goal scored this season by the Badger men's and women's hockey teams, Oak Park Place and other select hockey radio sponsors are pledging $10 for research conducted on campus by the UW Initiative to End Alzheimer's at the School of Medicine and Public Health. Visit goalsforacure.org to learn more and where you can sign up to give for each Badger goal scored. We'll wrap up our broadcast in a moment. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
The top-selling Halloween candies in every state over the past 17 years.
Nicely done, Melissa. I'm not sure.
What, were you clearing your throat? What was that?
It was a macabre kind of
it
like.
It really was.
Why the 17 years? That seems a little
arbitrary.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Candystore.com.
When they started making Halloween candy, guys.
Oh, yeah.
17
years definitely,
ago.
Definitely 17 years ago.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy, and I'm going to use a quote to kick off today's Work Money Minute. Comparison is the thief of joy. That fancy quote comes from everybody's favorite 26th president, Theodore Roosevelt. It calls out one of the most common problems that you and me and everybody we know sometimes has about their money. It is envy. You know, whether it's something you see in real life or something you see as you're scrolling on Facebook or Instagram, envy is really hard to turn off. And you know how when you feel it, it just makes everything else around you seem yuckier? Well, here's what I do. A, I give myself a break. It's normal and human to feel envy. B, I say, Carrie Joy, don't believe the hype. You know real life is more complicated than what you're looking at. And C, I stop scrolling for a little bit. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Having low income can mean making tough choices, choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I will be playing songs about parties as we celebrate our 100th episode. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Ready, set, go! Get it!
Loved one, someone that they love and care for, needs care. And they find that there are no choices. And oftentimes, a person only needs some amount of care. But really, it's in most places, it's a binary thing. You either get nothing or full institutionalization, right? So into a full-time skilled nursing facility, very little in between. And for any of those, you're talking about either paying out of pocket or going through a process to have the person get on Medicaid, which is not a long-term care system. It's just because we don't have one, it has... it operates as the only one that we have. Yeah. And Medicaid is means tested. So a person first has to qualify for it by being poor. And that involves this. I've been in these discussions. It's heartbreaking. It's just in this country, people need to spend down assets so that they qualify for Medicaid. Sometimes people need to get divorced so that the long-term care doesn't bankrupt the entire family. I mean, come on. And what Kamala Harris did, I don't want to be too nerdy about it, but we were fighting for long-term care in Build Back Better, $400 billion. But it was still in Medicaid. It was built on the non-system as it operates today. But what Vice President Harris proposed, what Kamala Harris proposed, is a universal Medicare benefit that covers home-based health care, right, for long-term care. That is huge. And it gives us the opportunity not only to change families' lives. And Rick, I can't find words to express, my feelings for what you're going through. You know that what families are facing in this country is a system that is just... it is devoid of care by its non-existence, right? And Kamala Harris is saying, we have the ability to do this. And I'll finish just the policy side. The amazing thing is also we can add this benefit, and the only thing we have to do to pay for it, for all the people who are like, oh, how are you going to pay for it, is we lower the prices of drugs for more people and on more drugs. So you increase Medicare negotiation, and then you use the savings that generates to add a new universal home-based home care benefit to Medicare. It's just a beautiful proposal.
Yeah.
And I am so happy to see it.
And I would argue that you would save money in, people being able to stay in their homes as opposed to being institutionalized and put into nursing homes. Because I don't know if you've seen the price of a nursing home per month. Some of the ones in this area are $12,000 to $17,000 a month. So getting someone to come and help someone stay in their home seems logical, but more importantly, seems cost effective.
I think most importantly is, seems like a thing that we should have in this which people call the greatest country on earth. If it is, then we got to take care of our people matching that label, right? And you're absolutely right. You know, we have all the data on this. Oftentimes, what people need is only a few hours of skilled nursing help a week, but we don't have a place for that, right? There's no system to really deliver that. So what you find is people who, and you know, rich people can generally find whatever they're looking for. So yeah, if you have the money, but for everyone else, it's all the way into a full institutionalization. So a person's going into a nursing home where they will find that the average cost is around is six figures, and average across the country, right? And who can afford that? That's why people are forced into this spend down, transfer assets, get divorced, do whatever it takes so that getting the care that a loved one needs doesn't mean bankrupting the family. And I should also add, Rick, and I know you know this, but like currently the nursing home situation, private equity's bought up most of them. And, you know, yeah. Many of these can be living hell because they're just seeing the people in them as profit centers to extract money from. They've fired their skilled nurses and they've brought on low wage workers, right? So the costs are enormous, but the workers who are working in these facilities aren't making good wages and the care is substandard. And I'm not gonna Pollyanna-ish this, you know, it's not like, oh, this solves everything, but it definitely can solve each of those pieces in the right direction. Yeah. As a universal benefit, you can ensure that you're paying good wages to skilled nurses to deliver great care at home and keep people out of nursing homes who don't need to be there. And so, yes, it absolutely saves money in the long term.
No, and look, you know, you brought up the basically the privatization of the nursing homes. You know, here in this area where I'm at, you know, they privatized one of the county homes, and we've been seeing this happen all across Pennsylvania, where you know nursing homes that were run by the county so that citizens would have somewhere to go have all been bought up by profiteers, and the first thing they do is slash and burn, you know, the wages of the workers, you know, bring in, you know, like you said, low paid workers, low skilled workers who want to do a good job but, you know, just don't have the skills. It's all in the wrong direction. Now, what's interesting to me is I had a conversation right when this came out with someone. I said, look, I see this as something even more positive that conservatives should get on board with, because this could be an opportunity to recreate the three-generation home, where, you know, someone could stay home and raise the kids, but also get paid to take care of their mother or father so that you have that kind of intergenerational connection again that we've lost over the last 30, 40 years. This is a way, I think, maybe you got a different opinion, but a way maybe conservatives and Republicans, you know, the God-fearing Christian folks might get on board with this?
You know, we're going to have to see how the benefit is designed, but I will also say that we have had proposals that do exactly what you're saying, because it makes sense. Caregiving. Most of the long-term care in this country, I say, you know, it doesn't have a system. People rely on Medicaid because they have no other choice. But what really it is in this country, we rely on unpaid caregiving by family.
Right.
Right. So we just rely on the fact that families are going to take care of their loved ones. And they don't get any money for that. And,
the care economy seems logical to me, Alex, in that we're going to this AI tsunami of job loss that they predict is coming. This would be a good transition of, as we're losing whatever it's going to be, go home and take care of mom and dad.
Absolutely. I was just my long wind up, Rick, was to say the only part I disagree with you on is, we've had these proposals, and you know how many Republicans vote for them? Zero.
Zero.
Because they're on the side of the private equity. And I don't want to, if you just Google nursing home private equity, you can read horror story after horror story after horror story. And these guys are getting billions of dollars by just extracting wealth from us. And they monetize, financialize every aspect of our life, including the end of our lives. And the Republicans literally just work for the paymasters. The richest man in the world just got on stage with Donald Trump and did his dumb jump, right? It's not like they hide who they work for. They're on the side of private equity. So I do think maybe we could change that calculus some. But for the moment, you know, we're going to have to focus on Democrats doing this all on their own, which is exactly what they did to get Medicare negotiation and all of the wins in the Inflation Reduction Act. Not a single Republican voted for any of those, yeah. Right? So I don't think we're going to see a large change from Republicans, even though obviously, you know, if anything they said was true about their focus on families. But you would see a whole host of different votes if that was true. That's just what they say to get power.
Well, the hope is the Republican voters start thinking that way. But I loved your statement there, extracting wealth from us. That is the nicest way to say ripping us off.
It is, although, you know, I don't mean it in a nice way, Rick. I mean it in a way of what these people are vampires. They're literal soulless vampires who look around the world, the country and the world. And they look for opportunities to break things. They look for things that work. The American pension system worked. They came in with ball peen hammers, smashed that to smithereens. Workers lost. Wall Street won. And it, out of the wreckage, right? I mean, who could say that anything got better? The 401k experiment is a failure. Workers are left holding the bag, of course, because they're not building. These private equities, these Wall Street billionaires, who however you want to call them, this vampire class of parasites, they're not building anything. They don't build anything. They just extract money. And now with healthcare, long-term care, you know, what we're seeing as our population ages is that, you know, the big cash cow for them is literally us and our health and our well-being. And it's never by providing healthcare that they make money, right? And privatized Medicare, so-called Medicare Advantage. It's by denying our healthcare. So they get the levers of power and they make money by sucking it out of whatever system works. And in its wreckage, the working people lose, they lose something. The billionaires get another golden yacht. And, you know, we keep sort of looking around, wondering what's happening. And the answer is really clear. The billionaires are happening. They're happening to us. Yep. And until we really confront that, I think, you know, we're going to have more of what we're seeing right now.
I'm right there with you. Alex Lawson, I appreciate the time. Always great stuff. This is good news. Another reason to get out in November and vote. Alex, I appreciate the time.
Thanks, Rick.
Alex Lawson, executive director there at Social Security Works. Check out their website, socialsecurityworks.org. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1874. That was the day that Mary Heaton Vorse was born in New York City. Mary grew up in Amherst, Massachusetts, in a family with significant financial means. She traveled across Europe with her parents, where she received her education and learned to speak multiple languages fluently. She then worked as a book reviewer for the Criterion magazine. In 1912, Mary and the man who would be her husband witnessed what would be known as the Bread and Roses textile strike in Lawrence, Massachusetts. The experience was a great turning point in her life. She later wrote, "Both Joe O'Brien and I had come a long road to get to Lawrence. Together, we experienced the realization of the human cost of our industrial life. Something transforming happened to both of us. We knew now where we belonged. On the side of the workers and not with the comfortable people among whom we were born. Some synthesis had taken place between my life and that of the workers. Some peculiar change that would never again permit me to look with indifference on the fact that riches for the few were made by misery of the many. It was in Lawrence that we realized what we must do, that we could make one contribution, that of writing the workers' story as long as we lived. For more than 50 years after Lawrence, Mary traveled the United States reporting and participating in strikes and the labor movement. She wrote about the 1919 steel strike and the lumber workers' strike in the Pacific Northwest. She wrote about the struggles of auto workers and textile workers and child labor. In 1962, the United Auto Workers honored Mary with their Social Justice Award. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I tell you, I think it's a great idea that Kamala Harris has proposed. The idea of ensuring that people get to stay in their home, get skilled care at home. I would like to also throw in there the idea of ensuring that, that family members can be part of that skilled training. Think about the possibilities of, you know, I look at the situation that, that our family is in right now. As I've said, my wife is out of the ICU. So as they say that the question of her survival is now pretty much answered. She's going to survive. She's going to live. And that's amazing. From the beginning, we were not given that option. They told us that chances are not going to make it. Start making arrangements. And now we're going, okay, what kind of life is she going to have? Is she going to recover fully? Which is what, you know, we're clearly hoping for. But if it's anything less than that and she needs help, would it not be better in the home as opposed to an institution? Now, I have said we will not put her in a nursing home. We will figure it out at home because fortunately, I think I'm able to do that. But it would be really helpful if we had a program to ensure that families didn't have to try and cobble that together. And that maybe it's a way to strengthen families. You know, my daughter would love to have the ability to that be her job, to ensure that mom gets the care she needs. And who would care for her better? And that, to me, that's kind of a big deal. So now this issue becomes a lot more personal because it's a lot closer to home. Always something I wanted to see, always something I wanted to see expanded. Because look, ultimately, as we get older, we're all going to have to make these choices. As we reach, you know, certain age, this idea, can we keep up a home? Can we stay at home? Can we take care of ourselves in our own home? Those become questions as you get older. And to have someone to aid you in that, some bit of assistance in your own, is one, obviously, the cheapest way of going about it. The most cost-effective, the most efficient way of doing it. But also the most dignified, I'd argue. My mother worked in a nursing home for years when I was a kid. Now, obviously, from the 70s till today, much different kind of situation. Back then, there were like four people in a room. They were basically just warehousing poor people. Things have gotten better, I'm told. And, you know, places are nicer and they do more things. But still not surrounded by loved ones. Still not in what you recognize. And still a major life change, especially for people who are struggling. For me, this sounds like an opportunity to recreate what, you know what I grew up believing was that nuclear family, the Waltons, if you will. Where multiple generations are in the same house taking care of each other. And look, as you know, housing prices continue, the cost of living continues to be high. This is an opportunity to solve some of those problems as well. As job losses come because of AI and we're told this tsunami is going to happen, seems like a way to move forward for people who want that. Because understand, the care economy is something we're going to have to deal with as the baby boom generation moves into their final days, as my generation, the Gen Xers, start moving there. This is a way to have that transition for an economy as well. So for me, it's about the dignity and everything that comes with being the individual who needs it, but also about the jobs that are going to be created that are going to support families. There are opportunities here if we make the right choice. And I want to finish up where I started. because you've got some, and I've been pointing at Sean O'Brien because he's the one who's been getting the most attention. This idea that both parties suck, that both of them are terrible, both of them are screwing us over. This is another one of those issues where both parties aren't the same, not even close. So for me, when you say that, they're both terrible, at least know what you're talking about, or at least state what you're talking about. That to me would be a good start. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, Rick at therickssmithshow.com. Miss any portion of the program, grab the podcast. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, you'll find ours. And as always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick.